Chapter 5. The Pyramid Builder. In the morning, we started off again, but we hadn't gone 100 yards into Xanthus when I saw something strange. This is one thing Putz didn't photograph, I'll bet. There was a line of little pyramids, tiny ones, not more than 6 inches high, stretching across Xanthus as far as I could see. Little buildings made of even smaller bricks. They were hollow inside and shortened, or at least broken at the top and empty. I pointed at them and said, "What?" to Tweel, but he made some negative sounds to indicate, I suppose, that he didn't know. So off we went, following the row of pyramids because they ran north and I was going north also. Man, we trailed that line for hours. After a while, I noticed another strange thing. They were getting larger. Same number of bricks in each one, but the bricks were larger. By 12 o'clock, they were shoulder high. I looked into a couple, all just the same, broken at the top and empty. I examined a brick or two as well. They were silica and old as creation itself.
"How do you know?" asked Leroy.
"They were worn with rounded edges. Silica doesn't break down easily, even on Earth, and in this climate."
"How old do you think?"
50,000 or 100,000 years. How can I tell? The little ones we saw in the morning were older, perhaps 10 times as old and falling to pieces. How old would that make them? 500,000 years? Who knows? Jarvis paused a moment.
"Well," he resumed, "we followed the line, and Tweel pointed at them and said, 'Rock,' once or twice, but he'd done that many times before. Besides, he was more or less right about these."
I tried questioning him. I pointed at a pyramid and asked, "People?" and indicated the two of us, but he made a negative sort of sound and said,
"No, no, no. No 112. No 224.
Meanwhile, rubbing his stomach, I just stared at him, and he did the same thing again.
"No 112. No 224.
I kept staring at him.
"That proves it," exclaimed Harrison. "Crazy!"
"You think so?" asked Jarvis sarcastically. "Well, I found out different.
No 112. You don't get it, of course, do you?"
"No, nor do you."
"I think I do."
Tweel was using the few English words he knew to convey a very complex idea. "What, let me ask, does mathematics make you think of?"
"Why, of astronomy, or logic." "That's it. With his no 112, Tweel was telling me that the builders of the pyramids weren't people, or that they weren't intelligent, that they weren't reasoning creatures. Get it?"
"Huh, I'll be damned."
"You probably will."
"Why,"
put in Leroy,
"did he rub his stomach?"
"Why?
Because, my dear biologist, that's where his brains are. Not in his tiny head, in his middle."
"It is impossible."
"Not on Mars, it isn't. These animals and plants aren't earthly, and your biopods prove that." Jarvis grinned and started his story again. "Anyway, we moved along across Xanthus, and in about the middle of the afternoon, something else strange happened. The pyramids ended."
"Ended?"
"Yeah. The odd part was that the last one, and now they were 10 feet high, was covered. See? Whatever built it was still inside, and we'd trailed them from their 500,000-year-old origin to the present." Tweel and I noticed it about the same time. I took out my gun. I was carrying Boland explosive bullets, and Tweel, quick as a magic trick, snapped a strange little glass gun out of his bag. It was much like our weapons, except that the handle was larger to accommodate his wider hand, and we held our weapons ready while we sneaked up along the lines of empty pyramids. Tweel saw the movement first. The top levels of bricks were rising, shaking, and then suddenly they all slid down the sides with a thin crash, and something was coming out. A long, silvery gray arm appeared, dragging after it an armored body.
armored, I mean, with scales, silver gray and slightly shining. The arm dragged the body out of the hole, and the beast crashed to the sand. It was a mostly featureless creature with a big, round, gray body, an arm, and a sort of mouth hole at one end, a stiff, pointed tail at the other, and that's all. No other arms or legs, no eyes, ears, nose, nothing. The thing dragged itself a few yards, stuck its pointed tail in the sand, pushed itself up, and just sat. Tweel and I watched it for 10 minutes before it moved. Then with a sound like crumpling stiff paper, its arm moved to the mouth hole and out came a brick. The arm placed the brick carefully on the ground, and the thing was still again. Another 10 minutes, another brick. Just one of nature's builders. I was about to slip away and move on when Tweel pointed at the thing and said, "Rock." I went, "Huh?" And he said it again to the accompaniment of some of his trilling. He said, "No, no," and gave 2 or 3 high-pitched breaths. Well, I understood him amazingly. I said, "No breath?" and demonstrated the word. Tweel was very happy and said, "Yes, yes, yes, no, 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 breet." Then he gave a leap and sailed out to land on his nose about 1 pace from the monster. I was surprised, you can imagine. The arm was going up for a brick, and I expected to see Tweel caught and injured, but nothing happened. Tweel pounded on the creature, and the arm took the brick and placed it neatly beside the first. Tweel rapped on its body again and said, "Rock," and I got up nerve enough to take a look myself. Tweel was right again. The creature was rock, and it didn't breathe. "How do you know?" snapped Leroy, his black eyes burning with interest. "Because I'm a chemist. The creature was made of silica. There must have been pure silicon in the sand, and it lived on that. Get it? We, and Tweel, and those plants out there, and even the biopods are carbon life. But this thing lived by a different set of chemical reactions. It was silicon life."
"Silicon life?" shouted Leroy. "I have suspected, and now it is proof. I must go see."
All right," said Jarvis. "You can go see. Anyway, there the thing was, alive and yet not alive, moving every 10 minutes and then only to remove a brick. Those bricks were its waste matter. See, Leroy? We're carbon and our waste is carbon-based. And this thing is silicon and its waste is silicon-based, or silica. But silica is solid, hence the bricks. And it builds itself in, and when it is covered, it moves over to a fresh place to start over. A living creature 500,000 years old.
"How do you know how old?" Leroy asked excitedly.
"We trailed its pyramids from the beginning, didn't we? If this weren't the original pyramid builder, the series would have ended somewhere before we found him, wouldn't it? It would have ended and started over with the small ones. That's simple enough, isn't it? But he reproduces, or tries to. Before the third brick came out, there was a whispering sound, and out popped a whole stream of those little crystal balls. They're his eggs, or seeds, call them what you want. They went bouncing by across Xanthus, just as they'd bounced by us back in the Merchronium. I think I know how they work, too. This is for your information, Leroy. I think the crystal shell of silica is no more than a covering for protection, like the shell of an egg. And the active principle is the smell inside. It's some sort of gas that attacks silicon, and if the shell is broken near a supply of that element, some reaction starts that ultimately develops into a creature like that one."
"You should try," exclaimed the little Frenchman. "We must break one to see."
"Yeah? Well, I did. I smashed a couple against the sand. Would you like to come back in about 10,000 years to see if I planted some pyramid monsters? You'd most likely be able to tell by that time." Jarvis paused and drew a deep breath. "That strange creature, can you picture it? Blind, deaf, no nerves or brain, like a machine, but never dying.
bound to go on making bricks, building pyramids, as long as silicon and oxygen exist, and even after, it'll just stop, but it won't be dead. If the accidents of a million years bring it its food again, there it'll be, ready to run again, while brains and civilizations are part of the past. A strange creature, but I met a stranger one.
If you did, it must have been in your dreams, growled Harrison.
You're right, said Jarvis seriously. In a way, you're right. The dream monster, that's the best name for it, and it's the most frightening creature one could imagine. More dangerous than a lion, more subtle than a snake.
Tell me, begged Leroy. I must go see.
Not this devil. Jarvis paused again. Well, he resumed, Tweel and I left the pyramid creature and continued along through Xanthus. I was tired and a little discouraged by Putz's failure to pick me up, and Tweel's trilling got on my nerves, as did his constant leaping. So I just strode along without a word, hour after hour, across that monotonous desert.